we do 14?
We did 14 with the community. So we go to the...
Okay, yeah, we're gonna look at it.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We didn't read the commentary to paragraph 14, so I'll read the translation again. Next, in response to the question, how can this confidential mystery be revealed? The Lord points out the discipline for achieving it, which is also a confidential mystery in the sense that it is the means for achieving step by step everything up to and including that mystery. And his shloka is there.
Etavadeva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunat manaha anvaya vyatirekapya yatsyat sarvatra sarvada.
That's the fourth verse of the Chitu. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly, by one who is desirous of understanding the truth of the self, that is, the truth about me, the personality of Godhead, and who wants to experience the confidential mystery as it actually is, this much should be inquired into. That should be learned at the lotus feet of one's divine spiritual master. And what is that? That which alone is found always and everywhere, both positively and negatively, by both injunctions and prohibitions. Okay. For example, there's a passage that begins by the negative statement, which is
Nayatunyat Shiva Panta Vishatam Samsvitav Iha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yogo Yato Bhavet.
Passage is negative. It says, for those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no auspicious means of deliverance other than that which is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. But then the same passage concludes by saying something positive.
Tasmat sarvat manarajan Hori sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan rinam.
And it concludes by saying positively, always and everywhere, in the words, O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So the same description of the process of devotional service expresses things negatively, what you shouldn't do, and positively, what you should do. Just like Krishna talking in the Gita. You know, kama kura tatala loba tasmanita tradiyam chaje. These are the doorways to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, a person should give them up. And if somebody doesn't give them up, this is what happens to him. And then positive again. But the person who does the right thing, this happens to him. Positive and negative. Krishna very often in his own, the way he speaks, he likes to contrast the positive and the negative. Okay, commentary. The treasure of prema is a mystery, hidden from but all but a few. To keep it hidden, any instruction on where to find it must also be kept secret. In the wrong hands, the instructions will be misused. Thus, the regulated practices of pure bhakti yoga are only taught in a relatively small number of scriptures, in which only specifically qualified candidates will show interest. The ways of mixed devotional service may be more widely known, but in bhakti mixed with the motives of selfish work, there is no intention to put aside the pursuit of material success, meaning no serious interest to take to attain liberation. And in bhakti mixed with the desire for knowledge leading to liberation, the selfish intention of one's own salvation blocks full dedication to the happiness of the Supreme Lord. The practice of pure devotional service is substantially different from both these mixed endeavors. The first qualification for beginning pure devotional service is to want it, to want to give one's whole life to the Lord's service. The beginner in the practice of pure bhakti will probably not himself be very pure at the start, but he is empowered by this noble aim. One who wants to enter this practice should want to find out who Krishna is in order to become attracted to him, not to learn how to exploit him as materialists exploit one another. Then, with this basic knowledge in hand, the candidate should approach authorized spiritual authorities and ask to be taught what to do and what not to do to reestablish his lost relationship with Krishna. When he follows the recommendations and prohibitions of devotional practice without deviation, he becomes fixed in service, and from then on, perpetually connected with Krishna. It is then only a matter of time for the connection to ripen into pure love. In this way, although bhakti most properly means pure loving service, the same term bhakti is also used to refer to the activities that enable a fallen soul to purify himself and eventually attain prema. Consequently, because no other effort apart from that of pure devotional practice will free one from our material entanglement and bring us to the full satisfaction of all our needs and wants, we should engage ourselves constantly in devotional service with great enthusiasm, giving up everything contrary and irrelevant. So here the discussion is on devotional service and practice, which is left for last. But after hearing the most essential things that guarantee perfection, like pure devotion, those who cannot immediately practice pure devotion, those who cannot just simply remember Krishna and be fully Krishna conscious, for them, this sadhana bhakti is required. But it does require that the sadhana bhakti has the requirement that one has to at least want to give himself fully to Krishna. If he doesn't, then he can practice some kind of mixed devotion, but that won't necessarily lead to the perfection. Okay, any comments or questions?
good is done. Remember once when Mukherjee was speaking about Bhakti, that this is very confidential things, and he explained how it's difficult to understand for the materialistic people, persons, how we can dedicate completely himself to somebody else, like sacrifice everything. Because pure bhakti is that we don't want anything in return, we just give up everything.
Yes.
And therefore, when they hear about it, it's too much ridiculous. They just think that it must be some madness.
Madness.
Madness, don't
yeah.
Like this. And therefore, to protect this pure bhakti from those people, there are very few scriptures which describe this pure bhakti.
Yes.
But at the same time, this is the only qualification for us. When we somehow get this taste of this pure dedication, when for example we see somebody who is pure, his body is his happy, or when we perform some kind of activity, then we will be happiness. And in this way we can become pure, because it creates, like I mentioned in the commentary, that, it creates pure motives. It is pure motives.
What creates the motives?
Initial, like some initial taste.
The taste.
The taste, or
inspires
or,
the motivation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or when we see somebody's example who is very happy.
Yes.
So
okay.
Then some faith creates, some faith rises.
Yes. So maybe the real most valuable thing about practicing devotional service are that you get a taste. You get to see what it's like, sample devotional service. Taste test. And you get to associate with advanced devotees. Yes.
You mentioned Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Prema Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti perform with pure motivation.
Yeah.
And mixed devotion doesn't lead. But is it understanding that mixed devotion doesn't lead directly to Prema Bhakti, but it leads to Vaidhi Bhakti in due course of time?
Well, it doesn't lead very certainly. It could lead to Prema Bhakti, but the tendency is either for people to be satisfied with their mixed devotion. Because they're not very serious. People who are not very serious can take forever surrendering. And they're satisfied to stay in a rut. It's the rut they want. They don't want liberation. They don't want full renunciation. So they're not going to strive for it because they don't want it. So they'll stay in their habit of mixed devotion forever unless very good fortune or some great calamity makes them change. So it's not very certain, it's not very effective. Mixed devotion might lead to pure devotion, but not so often. Very often it doesn't lead, it just stays where it is, it stagnates. Okay, so we got a short, yes?
It's like Dhruva Maharaj and others, Vajendra, they have mixed motives, but...
Mixed motives are very intense motives. Intense. That was what the key to Dhruva's success, that he was so determined to accomplish his purpose. And he was told you have to find Vishnu, so he was intent on finding Vishnu by whatever means. It's not a pure motive, but it was such a strong motive that he became strong by it, by intense devotional practice. And the same thing with Gajendra, he was in a desperate situation. To save his life. So that desperation led to his success.
We also quote this verse, Kaman, Kobya, and Mayad, Kamsa.
Yes.
So it seems like if worship Narayana,
Tasmat Kena Pupayana. One way or another, you should worship Vishnu. And Akamak Sarvakamova. But the recommendation is Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, not lukewarm practice, but do it very sincerely and intently. Then you can be further purified. If you're very serious about your mixed devotion, then then it's much more likely to be fully, more fully purified. Okay, next paragraph. Tasmad swagyana vigyana rahasya tadangana upadeshena chatuk shlokyam api swayam shri bhagavan evopadishtaha. Thus, the Supreme Lord has explained himself in the chatuk shloki by his instructions about knowledge of himself along with its realization, its confidential mystery, and its subsidiary aspects. Mystery turned into myself, okay. Mystery. Okay, from Atra tasmai swalokam bhagavan sabhajitaha iti bhagavat chaptena dadarsha tatrapi lasatvatam patihi tapatim ityatra tapani shrutyadi anukulita Shri Krishna twalingena chasya bhaktu Shri Bhagavatvam eva sputam. Najatu tadamsha bhuta narayana tyagorona shayi purushatvam. From the term of Bhagavan, in the words, please, the personality of God has showed in his own world. Who showed? Bhagavan showed. And from the evidence that he is Shri Krishna, in the words, he saw there the Lord of all the sattvatas. Brahma saw in Vaikuntha the Lord of all the sattvatas are the Vrishnis, which accord with the description of the Gopal Tapani Upanishad and other scriptures. It is self-evident that the speaker of these verses is the personality of Godhead himself, Bhagavan, not his plenary expansion called Narayan, nor the Purusha who lies down on the Garbha ocean. So this is a radical statement. Who spoke to Chaturshloki? Not Gorbhadakshay Vishnu, not Narayan, but Krishna. Okay. Maybe there's more about that in the next paragraph. That's a bold statement. Okay. But this was a vision of Vaikuntha, so what's Krishna doing up there? Let's see. Let's see what the commentary says about this. It was Bhagavan himself who taught the Bhagavatam to Brahma, imparting the essential facts about himself on the four levels of Jnana, Vijnana, the Rahasya, and the Angas of practice. And as Srila Jiva Goswami here points out, it was Bhagavan in his original form as Krishna. At first, Brahma woke up at the advent of a new day of his, finding himself sitting on his lotus flower growing from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. He did not know where he was and what he should do, but he received the instruction, concentrate yourself in meditation. And he did so. As a result, Lord Narayan gave Brahma a special vision of Vaikuntha. So the common understanding of readers of this section of the Bhagavatam is that Brahma first saw Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and then saw the Lord of Vaikuntha, who taught him the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami, however, has a different opinion, that the cowherd Govinda, Lord of Goloka, was the actual speaker. Narayan first revealed his abode in himself, and after this, Krishna revealed himself to Brahma. The Lord whom Brahma discovered is described by Sri Siddha Goswami as Akila Sattvatam Pratim, the master of all the sattvatas. Sattvatam can be understood as referring to all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. The word can mean that. Vaishnavas are sattvatas. But more properly speaking, the sattvatas are the Vrishnis of Dwarka, who live eternally with Krishna in Goloka. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad also relates that Brahma meditated and then realized Krishna, the cowherd lord of Vrindavan. Sri Sutta's own words on this are Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. In contrast to all other forms of God, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. that this statement of suttas, without a doubt, means that Krishna is the Supreme Godhead, is settled in the 28th Anuchet of Sri Krishna Sandarbha, 4th Sandarbha. Okay. So we just have this opinion of Jiva Goswami, that it's actually Krishna who spoke the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, not Narayan. But he doesn't give any other proof of it, he's just saying we have to accept it as his opinion. He doesn't give any explanations on how come it seemed to happen in Vaikuntha. He doesn't explain. Yeah, any comments?
In Brihad Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami says that because when Narada goes to Brahma and he starts glorifying that Krishna spoke to you this verses.
Yes.
So he mentions Vishnu from Vaikuntha, means the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu.
No, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is inside the material world. He's the Purusha.
Yeah.
Not Narayan is in Vaikuntha. The two are different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly remembering. Yeah. Vaikuntha spoke Narayan spoke or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu spoke.
Well,
but not Krishna himself. There's another Goswami mentions that.
Dina Chatur Shloki.
Yeah.
Well, according to the Bhagavatam, it seems to be Narayan in Vaikuntha. He went to Vaikuntha and Narayan there talked to him. Okay. I mean, Jiva Goswami is presenting a radical opinion that you don't see in all commentaries. It's his own opinion. And unfortunately, at least right here, he doesn't give further explanation.
And also about last Anuchet. About the last Anuchet.
Last which?
Last paragraph.
Yeah.
This somebody may be a mixed devotee and also very serious. He wants to become pure, but he sees some anartha in himself.
Yes.
Then even trying all possibilities of praying the Lord, revealing heart to the devotee,
yes,
or working himself, he is not able to get rid of the anartha.
Yes.
But he is very serious in his devotional service. Then what is the solution?
Shipram Bhavati Dharma. Krishna says you shouldn't worry, that soon enough he'll become righteous, he'll become purified as his anartha. He should have strong trust in the power of the process of sadhana bhakti to purify asavara anarthas. It's the only and best means of doing that. Nothing else will get rid of those anarthas. So we should trust the process and be enthusiastic, patient, and determined. And let it take as long as it has to take. Don't give up. Don't give up, just keep on trying.
I heard this thing that Sri Krishna gave knowledge to Lord Brahma in his heart, like Brahma Adi Kavaye was the Brahma, Tene Brahma Rada Adi Kavaye. So, and there is very famous picture in ISKCON that Brahma is meditating and there's Sri Krishna playing flute and knowledge is going through those holes of flute. To his heart. So how can we understand?
We can understand, and it is explained to us by Sanatana Goswami in the Virya Bhagavatamrita, that Brahma, every day he wakes up, he has to go through this process again. He has to be, he's in ignorance every morning, and he has to be enlightened. In fact, he takes initiation every day, over and over again. And sometimes it's not the same arrangement each time. And who he gets... who acts as a spiritual master is different each day. Sometimes it's Saraswati, sometimes it's Krishna, sometimes it's Narayan. Because it's a repeated process and there's variations. So therefore there'll be descriptions that seem different because it's in different occasions that he's being enlightened. Okay?
Saraswati is the wife of Brahma, then how is he taking initiation from Saraswati?
This is Divya Saraswati. The original, not his wife, not the material Saraswati, but the spiritual Saraswati from Vaikuntha. Divya Saraswati. That's the Vaikuntha Saraswati.
So this is a kind of contradiction between who spoke Chitrashodhi or Narayana or Lord Krishna. So because it was said about Rahasya, and Rahasya is a Guru Bhakti, but they know that there are different kinds of Guru Bhakti. There is Vaikuntha Bhakti and then also Raja Bhakti.
Yes.
So it should be only Krishna in order to be able to give Raja Bhakti. Otherwise, Narayana usually he can't give Raja Bhakti, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, Narayana can give the preliminary training, just like Gopakumar, served his apprentice time in Vaikuntha before going on to Goloka. So Narayana can prepare the devotees for Raja Bhakti, but the final touches have to be given by Krishna himself.
So, thinking, how is it possible that, you can see that it was Lord Narayana, he gave a darshan of Vaikuntha Loka, not Krishna Loka, to Lord Brahma. Narayana was probably to. Then, is it somehow that Krishna was like hiding inside Narayana?
Krishna is hiding. Krishna is Narayana. Narayana is Krishna, but he's under constraints. He's in his official public position, he can't act like Krishna. He is Krishna, but he can't act like himself.
So does it mean that this Narayana who spoke this Chitrashloki and Vaikuntha, it wasn't actually Krishna, but in disguise, to say?
Well, that's a one. Well, but Narayana in general is Krishna in disguise.
So,
I don't know, this is maybe... I don't know, because we don't have any further information from Jiva Goswami how it is. In what way did he hear from Krishna? The whole chapter seems to be a description of Vaikuntha.
Because Narayana, he can also be called Satvadampati, if you take it in general, just the word is more Satvadas. But then, if you go a little deeper, you can understand that Satvadas is only Krishna's word, so it should be Krishna.
Yeah. Anyway, what Jiva Goswami hasn't done here is given us a logical proof. He's stating it as his realization. And it doesn't seem to be any solid logical evidence for it. It's just he's sharing his realization with us.
At the same time, we can see that Lord Brahma, he wasn't completely trained in Raja Bhakti because when he saw Krishna's pastimes, he was bewildered, especially when he saw Krishna's taking.
His training in Vrajabharti was when he came down and got defeated by Krishna. And then he takes birth in the Leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be fully indoctrinated into Vrajabharti.
So can we conclude that the Chitrashloki given by Lord Narayana, it was like some general training about general Bhakti, but not Raja Bhakti yet, but then or some seed was planted at that time, and then further training was done by Krishna himself when he came.
Maybe, but why does Jiva Goswami say that it was actually Krishna who spoke it? He said it.
We just didn't understand this somehow.
Yeah, he's not helping us understand, he's telling us this is the way it is, it's my realization. And I guess it's just above our heads.
Like how we address general ISKCON audience, in the sense that if we say that Narayan did not speak Chatushpadi, but
you just say Jiva Goswami said it in paragraph 95.15 of the Bhagavad Sandarbha, read it for yourself, and I can't explain it because you don't say anything more. Yes, yes.
Brahma Samhita is spoken by Brahmaji. When did he pray? That was first time or once?
Well, it's a different time than the time that's described in the Bhagavatam, because in that time he was initiated by Sarasvati in the Brahma Samhita. I don't know if we have the information which day of Brahma that is that's described in the Brahma Samhita.
But that's not the first, when after...
I don't think it's the first day of his life, no. Oh, sorry.
It's not because maybe we can find some more information from Ekramas and Dhamma, his commentary on these verses, and about the vision of Vaikuntha and so on.
We can look. To look at the second canon, 9th chapter of Kama Sandarbha. You want to do that from? Do you want me to do it? Anyway, we got one more paragraph and we're done with the energy. Let's read it. Ata evasya mahapurana siyapi, Sri Bhagavatam eva akya. Therefore, this major Purana is called Sri Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is mostly about Bhagavan. The Chatuk Shloki, which is a summary of the Bhagavatam, is all about Bhagavan. And so the Bhagavatam is all about Bhagavan, therefore it's called Bhagavatam. Tathaya Voktam, kasmayena vipasito yamatu lokena pradipa pura ityadau tachuddam vimalam vishokamamritam satyam param dimahi. This is in the last chapter of the 12th canto, summing up to Bhagavatam. Ityatra parashabdena bhagavad vaktvitvam adyo vitara purusha pura parasya iti dutiye vedabhidhanat. And so in the verse beginning, he who in the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma, it is said, I meditate on that pure and spotless supreme absolute truth who is free from suffering and death. The word supreme here indicates that the personality of Godhead himself is the speaker, since he is separately referred to as the supreme. As described in the second canto, it is said, the Purusha is the first incarnation of the Supreme. So the Purusha is just an incarnation. The Supreme is somebody else. Thus the word Bhagavan is also used. No, I won't read that yet. Well, okay. Who spoke the Chatushloki is Bhagavan, not Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the Purusha. But how is it that Bhagavan Narayan isn't Bhagavan? That is argued in the Krishna Sandarbha, that the real Bhagavan is Krishna. That we refer to someone as Bhagavan, we're really talking about Krishna. That is elaborate discussion of in the Krishna Sandarbha. Then what is Narayan? If he's not Bhagavan, he's not the Purusha. What is he? Here's some more discussion here. Atap idam bhagavata purvam brahmanena vipankaje stitaya bhavabhitaya karunyat samprakashitam ityatrapi bhagavat shabda prayoga. Thus the word Bhagavan is also used in the statement It was to Lord Brahma that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan compassionately first revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam in full. At that time, Brahma, frightened by material existence, was sitting on the lotus flower he had grown, that had grown from the Lord's navel. Okay, what does that indicate? Sri Narayana Nabi Pampajastitam Brahmanam Prati Swayam Sri Bhagavata Tatvaiva Vyapi Mahavaikuntam Prakashyedam Puranam Prakashitam Iti Artaha. This indicates that to Brahma sitting in the lotus coming from the navel of Sri Narayana, the original personality of Godhead revealed right there, the all-pervasive Mahavaikuntha, and then revealed this Purana. Anugatam Chaita Dvatiya Skamde Dihasasyeti. This description agrees with the account given in the second canto, before the Chatushlomi, describing how Brahma was born and how he meditated. Sri Bhagavan Brahmanam. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 2.9.33-36, these verses were spoken by the personality of Godhead Bhagavan to Brahma. It's funny, this sentence seems to indicate that by Narayan we mean Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Brahma was sitting on a lotus coming from the navel of Sri Narayan. And then the original personality of Godhead revealed the Mahavaikuntha. Anyway, commentary. Let's see what we figure out here. In the best of books named Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Krishna is the prime subject of discussion. He is the deity to be worshipped, and he is also the scripture's first speaker. The very first verse of the Bhagavatam calls Krishna Satyam Param. At the end of the Bhagavatam, the same words Satyam Param are repeated. Let us meditate on him, the Supreme Truth. Mahavishnu, of whom Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is a further expansion, is the first avatar in the history of material creation and is specified as an avatar of the same Param. All other forms of God beside Krishna derive from him as self-same expansions. Krishna alone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He expands first as Balaram in Goloka, then as Narayan in all his forms in Vaikuntha, and finally as the first, second, and third Purushas in the material creation. Okay. So it looks like what he says, it's not Narayan who's talking, it's not Garbhadakshaya Vishnu Narayan. Because Narayan is said here to be the one that it was his navel out of which the flower came out that Prabhu was born out of, Narayan's.
I think of this description, Narayan, four times Narayan.
Oh,
in the description before Chitrashoki, it was Lord Narayana.
That's perfect.
For whom the end who told that he's speaking this Brahma.
Chatur Bhajam, I think even it says that what Brahma saw at four arms. No? Let's see.
Well, 297. Hare Krishna, oh, that doesn't work. Anyway.
I mean, he saw the Lord lying on Ananta Shady. She saw it. It was Narayan. It was not too warm Krishna. Then Krishna appeared on top of that? I don't know.
Maybe when I can think of Sudeva Devaki, first Krishna appeared in the form that he appeared as a small child.
Okay, but he appeared, but Devaki and Vasudev were in Gokula, or in Mathura, they weren't in Vaikuntha. Brahma, what he saw was Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha turned into Goloka, but we're not told that.
Maybe it was a special hidden revelation, unspoken revelation to Brahma.
Maybe.
Also, it's more speculation about this term Bhagavan. You know, sometimes Narada Muni or some great sages also referred to as Bhagavan.
Yes.
So why should you understand this mention that only a Krishna can refer to the term Bhagavan?
Okay, how does it exactly say?
Not in the Narayana, but
In this context, it doesn't. Where does it say that?
I remember many times in Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Narada Narayana.
I know. So where does it say here that Bhagavan only means Krishna? Well, the thing is, here we're distinguishing, in this context of this chapter, we have it, or in the second canon, we have a distinction between Bhagavan and Purusha. Okay? So the original and proper meaning of the term Bhagavan is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's used in a figurative sense to refer to other great persons. Yeah. And that is discussed by Jiva Goswami in the, I think in the Sarvasambhadani for this Sandarbha. You haven't seen it, but it's in the Sarvasambhadani. Some elaborate description of the proper use of the word Bhagavan. And it's from the Vishnu Purana, where Parashara Rishi is explaining the meaning of the word Bhagavan. And he says, in an upacharina, in a figurative way, it can refer to other powerful persons. But the proper literal usage is only to refer to the personality of Godhead.
Yeah, to Krishna.
Well, he doesn't say that. Parashara Rishi didn't say that. The Vishnu Purana. That's Vishnu Purana. But Bhagavatam takes a special stance, and it's stated in that Paribhasha's statement, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, the real Bhagavan is Krishna. That's a special position that distinguishes it even from the Vishnu Purana.
Maybe we can also see in Chaitanya, we have a discussion how all Vishnu forms, they are in the mood of a servant of Krishna, like Balarama. He's the original servant, and then also it's mentioned that they are also the same.
Yes. Yes.
And therefore,
Ekalim Ishvara Krishna Arsho Pritya, including his own expansions. Narayan must mean Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Calling him Narayan, but it's obviously because Brahma doesn't appear in the spiritual world. It doesn't happen in Vaikuntha. This is in the material egg. The egg is already with the form. And the second Purusha grows that navel out of his lotus. That lotus out of his navel.
Also, some
Anuchedas
mention back, we had a discussion of this Bhagavatam is called Srimad Bhagavatam only, not by any other name.
Yes.
But here, first line of the translation it says that therefore this major Purana is called Sri Bhagavatam. But Jiva Goswami previously he had established that it should be Srimad Bhagavatam, not any other name. But here he is again.
Sri Bhagavatam is a shortened form. It says the same place where Jiva Goswami says the proper name is Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, but it can be called Bhagavatam for short, just like Satyabhama is sometimes called Bhama. Her proper name is Satyabhama. On her passport it says Satyabhama. But she's also called Bhama. Bhagavatam is also called Sri Bhagavatam or just Bhagavatam. The proper name is Srimad Bhagavatam. Official name. Okay, next paragraph. Or next anuchet. And it looks like this other chain only has two paragraphs. 96. Tar, okay. The topic now is something new. Much better? Okay, we stop here. We will discuss in the next Anuchet how all the scriptures, if you take their overall purport, they also, all the scriptures, if you look at them in the right way, they refer to Bhagavan. Samanvaya, the overall purport of all the scriptures. Samanvaya means you have a lot of different statements from a lot of different texts, but if you examine them and compare them carefully, you find out the overall aim of all of it. That's the Samanvaya. Okay, so we'll stop. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I have to excuse myself. I gotta go to the dentist. I'm gonna have to go to Delhi. I'm gonna have to leave the day after tomorrow. Yes? No, day after tomorrow. So we'll try to finish this Anuchet tomorrow, and then I gotta go. I may have to spend a week getting my teeth worked on. Okay. Hare Krishna.
You have to love it.
What do you want to do?